In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This first Sunday of Lent, we see our Lord, who has just been baptized. He is being led by the Holy Ghost to go into the desert to be tempted. And I know we must always avoid the occasions of sin, but sometimes the occasions of sin present themselves to us. We are led into them. We've not gone out seeking them, searching for them, but they come upon us. And it is very disheartening when we find we've been baptized, we've gone and made a good confession, we received Christ in the Holy Eucharist, and now we're inundated with these temptations, and we say, what is wrong? What's wrong with me? Why can't I be free of these temptations? And the fathers of the church tell us we are looking at it all wrong. You were not baptized. You did not receive these sacramental graces so you can sit back and relax. It's not meant to be easy. You receive these graces as armor to a soldier. You are a soldier who must go out and fight. You must go and defend your soul. And so our Lord is led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted. And he is showing us by these temptations that we too must fight the good fight. We too are commissioned by God to go forth and subdue the earth, to go forth and put the devil in his place. And subdue the earth doesn't mean just materially, to conquer the earth and turn it into a parking lot for our convenience, what the scripture is referring to is bringing God's creation back into right order, where everything serves the greater honor and glory of God, where all of these things are useful, basically to chase the devils back, to get rid of the disorder that the devils have brought into this world. We receive the graces to fight, to defend, to expand the kingdom of God. And so if we think that I've received the grace and now I'm safe, we're mistaken. For the moment you put on the armor, you have a target on your back, and the devils are going to come after you. And very often in the spiritual life, we have these great aspirations as young novices. We enter the religious life thinking, okay, I'm going to make these advances. And we are shocked, scandalized at ourselves. How can these temptations from my past life still assault me? Why do I still have to put up with this? And we make the grave mistake to thinking that I should be free from them. When all of history shows us, even our great patron, St. Francis of Assisi, it's been recorded that he suffered temptations, that he would go out in the snow and build a snow woman and snow children and said, here's your wife, here's your children. Feed them, take care of them. What kind of fool are you? You have no job, you have no money, you're a poor man. How can you be tempted to want a wife and children, to have a family? It is just the temptation of the devils, and we think, oh, well, I should be free of that. And it is not so. And many people in the world think, oh, well, the religious have it so easy. And the religious look at the people in the world, they have it so easy. But I tell you, it doesn't matter what vocation you're in, the devils are going to come after you. You're going to have to fight the good fight. And so we must prepare ourselves. We must discipline ourselves. And this season of Lent is the boot camp for all of those soldiers. Now is the time of training. Now is the time of exercising ourselves. Can you resist the temptation? Can you willingly deny yourself this pleasure or that pleasure? Now is the time to test. Now is the time to build up strength. Now is the time to build up character. Because if I can promise you anything, the more you advance in the spiritual life, the more the assaults of the devil are going to come. The better soldier you become, the greater the attack becomes. The closer you get to the gates of heaven, the greater the assaults are going to be. You think the devil's just going to sit back and say, okay, I give up, you win. I encourage people very frequently when they're praying for someone who's gone astray, I said, don't give up hope. As long as there is breath, there is hope. There's always a chance of their conversion. Pray, offer sacrifice, do whatever you can for their conversion because they're still alive, there's still hope. They can still turn around, even at the 11th hour. But what I don't often tell people is that the reciprocal, the opposite of that is just as true. As long as there is breath, there's hope for the devils to trap you. You can still go to hell. And it doesn't matter what degree of holiness you've reached in this life. You can still fall. You are not secure. You are not safe. The devil is still after you. And I suggest that he is after you even more. The fathers of the church tell us that the worst time is that moment of death. That is when the war comes to the culmination. Here is the last moment, the last chance that the devils have. And they will pull out all the stops. And they will assault. And that is why we must pray that we persevere to the end. We must pray for those who are departing. That is why we call the priest in to give the last rites, to anoint, to strengthen us. Not to take the temptation away, but to strengthen us for the battle, so that we can resist on the spiritual level this attack of the devil in our last moments. This season of Lent, as I mentioned before, we compare it to the military. It is our boot camp. It is our refresher course. And we need to take this seriously. It is our time of fasting, abstaining, mortification. It's a time for us to discipline our bodies. We are following Christ out into the desert. And the devil is going to come when we are weak. When you're hungry, that's when the devil's going to come and say, oh, it's okay, eat this. Turn these stones into loaves of bread. It's okay. It's right here, nobody will know. It's only this or it's only that. And we begin to make excuses, or I tell you, the devil suggests to us these excuses. It's not a big deal for the little children who give up candy and they say, oh, huh, a piece of gum. Is that candy or not? Technically, it's not food, right? But I gave up sweets and it is sweet. But it's not candy. And the devil is there. And I pick on little children, but it happens to grown-ups too. I'm not supposed to eat in between meals. Does a Tic Tac count as food? The lollipop? If I just suck on a lozenge? You know, I do have a little bit of a sore throat. And sucking on this lozenger will be medicinal, right? Probably a drink of water would help, but that lozenge looks just so tempting. It is the devil who's going to come and play these mind games with us. And it is time for us to look at Christ in the desert. I won't die if I don't have that piece of gum or that Tic Tac or that lozenge. Maybe a drink of water would be better for me anyway. And to say to the devil, no. It's not by candy or bread alone that man lives, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. I must resist this so that I gain mastery over my soul, mastery over my body. And of course, the devil's going to tempt us in all of these three ways that our Lord was tempted: food, pretension of faith, presumption. If you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can jump out this window and land on your feet, or you won't even fall, you'll float through the air. If you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. I have that kind of faith. And Bishop Lewis told us in the seminary of a seminarian who once thought he had that kind of faith and stepped out a second-story window and broke both his legs. He forgot what our Lord said to the devil. It is further written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And so we're going to face those same temptations of presumption. Oh, you see, I'm such a holy person. I fasted so well so far this season of Lent. I'm really a good person, and I can pat myself on the back. I warn you, don't break your arm patting yourself on the back. And you say, but I've conquered my appetite. I've conquered my presumption. And now comes the pride, the vanity of the world, the pleasures of the world, whatever it may be. The devil took our Lord up to a high mountain, showed him all the glories of the world. You can have all this, just bow down and worship me. The devil says the same thing to us, especially in our moments of weakness, when we are hungry, when we are tired. You can have this pleasure. Just sacrifice your immortal soul. Bow down and worship the devil. Worship the world, serve whatever thing you want as long as you do not serve God. And you can have this pleasure. Why cannot I watch this scandalous movie or show on TV? It's no big deal. I should be able to indulge myself in this pleasure. I worked hard, I deserve it. And the devil will come and suggest all these things to you. Oh, I didn't want this image to come up on my computer or my screen, but I watched it anyway. I didn't ask for it, it was there, but I looked. Did you turn it off as soon as you realized what it was? Did you look away? Did you change? No. The devil has won. You've pursued that momentary pleasure, which the devil is tempting you to take beyond just the moment, to indulge, and you failed the test. And now I'm not saying you failed the test to lead you to despair, but to humble you so that you strive to do better the next time. You know the old saying of the American Indian, If you cheat me once, shame on you. But if you cheat me twice, shame on me. You know the tricks of the devil. These tricks are basically these three temptations. Christ has shown you the weapon to use against each one of them. You've fallen for these tricks of the devil before. And I ask, what have we learned? Have we advanced? Have we grown stronger? Or do we keep falling for the same trick over and over again? This Lent is the time to mature, to advance to the next stage, to overcome these temptations, to prepare ourselves for the battle. And we're entering into the desert, we're following Christ. And I say we need all the help we can get. So during this season of Lent, don't just fast and abstain and do penance, but pray. Ask God for the grace, but realize the graces that you're asking for are weapons to fight. You're not asking to be set in a nice, comfortable, little protected space. You're asking for the grace to fight the good fight, to expand the kingdom of God. One more thing that I wish you to recall is that the devil wants to attack you when you're alone. Divide and conquer. When did the devil tempt Eve? When Adam wasn't around. When does the devil tempt our Lord? When he is out in the desert alone. If we keep good companions around us, we will be less likely to fall into sin. But again, that too is a double-edged sword. I mentioned good companions. If you surround yourself with evil companions, they will bring out the worst in you. And I can say this from St. Augustine's experience as he relates in his confessions. He has something along the lines, it says that it takes others to bring out either the best in us or the worst in us. When I'm alone, I can't be as good as I possibly can be, and I can't be as bad as I possibly can be. But if I'm with evil companions, it brings out the worst in me. And if I'm with good companions, it brings out the best in me. And so I must carefully choose my associates, those who are going to bring out the best in me, and I must try to be with them. And you say, but often I find myself alone. How can I fight the devil's temptations when I'm alone and I don't have my good companions to encourage me? I suggest to you that we always have good companions. After our Lord's fasting, the angels came and ministered to him. We have our guardian angel. Yes, there are devils all around us, but there are also angels. We are engaged in a battle, a fight, a war, but we have our aids in the angels. And when you find yourself alone, remember that there are angels near you. Talk to your guardian angel. Call upon your guardian angel. Call upon other angels. St. Michael, any of the angels that you've developed a devotion to, call upon the saints. Oh yes, you can't physically see their bodies, but their spirits are there, and you are truly never alone. And if we get into the habit of talking to our angels and the saints in heaven, we should never feel alone, and we will always have that positive influence to help us do better. And so as you go out into the desert, take your guardian angels with you. Pray to them. Ask them to accompany you. Ask them to help you. And cooperate with the graces, the weapons that they've given you to fight off these devils. You can do it. And as this first Sunday of Lent, as I mentioned before, This week is Ember Week, and traditionally during Ember Week is the time for us to offer prayer and sacrifices for vocations. And so I ask you once again, pray that we have priests, religious, that the young people will fulfill a vocation, a calling from God. Because we need these young men, young women, to step up and fight the good fight, to continue. And the church has set aside Ember Weeks 4 times a year, specifically for us to pray for vocations. And so this Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, I encourage you to pray for vocations. Ask God to send vocations to young people. Young people, pray that God will give you the vocation, or that you will cooperate with the vocation God has given you. Whatever that vocation may be. But if God doesn't choose to give you the vocation of the religious or the priesthood, then pray that he will give it to others who are worthy, who will embrace the fight, the conflict. As you know, I mentioned in the beginning of the sermon, we all face temptations. And the temptations of the world are pulling at the hearts of our young people. They need the help, the assistance of us to pray for them so they receive the grace to be pulled from the world and to give their life completely to God. Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.